Welcome to the show. Today, I'm going to show you an easy way to read and make sense of income tax law. You'll be able to understand the truth about the income tax rather than feeling you have to believe the government's false narrative that it applies to everyone. The truth is about to blow your mind.
The Dr. Reality Podcast with Dave Champion.
Let's start with this. I'm the author of Income Tax Shattering the Myth, the best-selling book in America that provides mountains of incontrovertible proof Congress has never imposed the income tax on ordinary, hardworking Americans. Because I know what the law actually says, I haven't filed an income tax return or paid a penny in income tax in 30 years. People think understanding the truth of the income tax is difficult. It's not so much difficult as it is that tax law is voluminous and therefore a challenge in terms of the time it takes to find the truth. Since most of us have hectic lives, an incredibly time-consuming task usually isn't appealing and doesn't get done. Having made income tax law voluminous, thus giving it the appearance of complexity, has allowed the government to scam hundreds of millions of Americans into paying a tax they don't owe and never have, including you. Today, I'm going to break it down and make it simple. You're going to be shocked, and hopefully thrilled, at how straightforward the matter is when you know where to look. What people call the tax code is known in law as Title 26 of the United States Code. We're going to take a look at Title 26 in a way everyone can understand. Title 26 has 11 subtitles. The good news is, because we're considering just income tax, we need only consider two subtitles and one other to look at a single definition. The two primary subtitles are A and C. A is aptly entitled Income Taxes, and C is entitled Employment Taxes. The subtitle we need to look at for a single definition is Subtitle F, entitled Procedures and Administration. As just mentioned, Subtitle A is entitled Income Taxes. When someone mentions income tax in casual conversation, they're really talking about Subtitle A. Subtitle C, entitled Employment Taxes, addresses payroll withholding. Since we just mentioned withholding, the single definition we need from Subtitle F is the definition of withholding agent. We find that at 7701A16. However, before we read Section A16, we need to know the scope of the definition. We find that at the very top of 7701, where it reads, when used in this title. In other words, these definitions apply to the entire tax code. Now that we know the scope of the definition's applicability, what is the definition of withholding agent at 7701A16? Quote, the term withholding agent means any person required to deduct and withhold any tax under the provisions of Section 1441, 1442, 1443, or 1461. I'm sure you noted there were four sections mentioned. We can ignore three of the four for the following reasons. We can ignore 1442 and 1443 because they address foreign corporations, with which we are not concerned today. We can also ignore 1461 because it simply says if a person is required to withhold, that person becomes liable for the tax. That leaves only 1441. As we read 1441, keep in mind it is the statutory definition for the only person in tax law who is permitted to withhold. Section 144A16 defines withholding agent as follows, quote, except as otherwise provided in subsection C, all persons in whatever capacity acting, including lessees or mortgagors of real or personal property, fiduciaries, employers, and all officers and employees of the United States, having the control, receipt, custody, disposal, or payment of any items of income specified in subsection B to the extent that any such items constitute gross income from sources within the United States, of any non-resident alien individual. I'd like to read that for you again, omitting the words that are superfluous for today's lesson so you get a clear picture of what is being conveyed. As I read it, please take note of the word employer, because that's relevant to Subtitle C, entitled Employment Taxes, which we'll be talking about shortly. This is how the definition of withholding agent reads, with the superfluous words omitted. Quote, all persons in whatever capacity acting, including employers, having the control, receipt, custody, disposal, or payment of any items of income from sources within the United States of any non-resident alien individual. Everyone should be clear on two things at this point. First, a withholding agent, the only person authorized by Congress to withhold, can only withhold from, quote, items of income from sources within the United States of any non-resident alien individual. I told you we'd be keeping this simple and straightforward today, so let's quickly recap. Pertaining to personal income tax, out of the entire tax code, all we need to look at is subtitles A and C, and a single definition from subtitle F. You've already seen the definition of withholding agent from subtitle F, so now we're left to discuss subtitles A and C. Let's start with subtitle A. Subtitle A has seven chapters, of which only three are relevant to today's discussion. The chapters we need to consider are 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 1 is entitled Normal Taxes and Surtaxes. Chapter 2 is entitled Taxes on Self-Employment Income. Chapter 3 is entitled Withholding of Tax on Non-Resident Aliens and Foreign Corporations. Remember, all three of these chapters are within Subtitle A entitled Income Tax. With that in mind, I'm going to make this super easy for you, though it will probably blow your mind a bit. Are you ready? Chapter 1, Normal Taxes and Surtaxes, and Chapter 2, Tax on Self-Employment Income, are what I refer to as the rules of computation. In other words, for those upon whom the tax has been imposed, Chapters 1 and 2 tell them how to determine what they owe. Now, let's go up to the 35,000-foot level and take a look at taxation generally. Every single tax passed into law includes a collection mechanism. Every single one, without exception. When we look at Subtitle A, again, entitled Income Tax, we find that Chapters 1 and 2 are the rules of computation and do not contain a single word about how the tax is to be collected. So, if Chapters 1 and 2 don't contain a collection mechanism, it must be somewhere else, right? Where might that be? Well, why not look at the very next chapter, Chapter 3, entitled Withholding of Tax on Non-Resident Aliens and Foreign Corporations? If you have the same reaction I did 30 years ago, you're thinking, Chapter 3 can't be it, because the collection mechanism I'm looking for is the one that operates on Americans, not foreigners. If you had that thought, I get it, because when I first started researching tax law, I can't tell you how many times I came to Chapter 3 and ignored it. With that said, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to be honest with yourself. Take a moment and think about the question before you answer, so it is not a knee-jerk response. Are you ready? Okay, here's the question. Just a moment ago, when your reaction to the title of Chapter 3 was, that can't be the collection mechanism for income tax because it only deals with foreigners, was that reaction from having read income tax law with your own two eyes? Or was that reaction based on the establishment narrative that the tax applies to you and, by association, every other American? If you're being honest with yourself, your reaction was based on your socialized view of income tax, because probably 99% of you have never read a word of tax law. By pointing that out, I'm not criticizing you. When I was new to the subject, I made the same exact mistake. Now, I'm going to drop the bomb on you. Legal researchers have been scouring the tax code for decades, probably four or five decades, in search of any collection mechanism for income tax other than Chapter 3 entitled Withholding of Tax on Non-Resident Aliens and Foreign Corporations. So, if the only collection mechanism in the tax code collects income tax exclusively from non-resident aliens and foreign corporations with U.S. source income, who then do you think the tax has been imposed upon? Some people with just enough knowledge to be a danger to themselves and others will assert that Chapter 3 is not. the only income tax collection mechanism in the law. They will point to Section 3402, the command to withhold from paychecks, which is in Subtitle C. And I appreciate you bringing that up because you may recall earlier I said the two primary subtitles dealing with income tax are A and C. We've covered the salient facts in Subtitle A, so now it's time to discuss Subtitle C. Subtitle C is entitled Employment Taxes and has six chapters. Of those, only Chapter 24 addresses income tax. It is titled Collection of Income Tax at Source on Wages. I'm going to share a little known fact with you right now. Every single time the phrase collection of income tax at source is used in tax law, it means the collection of tax from non-resident aliens and foreign corporations. With that in mind, let's read the title of Chapter 24 again. Collection of Income Tax at Source on Wages. Hopefully, you're seeing the connection between Chapter 3 of Subtitle A, collecting the income tax from non-resident aliens and foreign corporations, and Chapter 24 of Subtitle C. If not, don't worry, because I'm going to nail it down for you right now. We already know that employers are required to withhold because we read it earlier in Section 1441, which read, all persons in whatever capacity acting, including employers, having the control, receipt, custody, disposal, or payment of any items of income from sources within the United States of any non-resident alien individual. So, if collection of income tax by employers is already mandated in Chapter 3 of Subtitle A, why is another separate statute in Chapter 24 needed? You know, that's a damn good question, and here's the answer. Chapter 3 of Subtitle A relies on voluntary compliance. Now, let me explain what that means. Voluntary compliance means U.S. citizens and domestic corporations, as well as the non-resident aliens and foreign corporations who are involved in moving U.S. source income to its foreign owners, are expected to furnish the necessary forms, perform required withholding, file the proper returns, and pay the income tax over to the government without hundreds of thousands of government officials constantly looking over their shoulders to ensure compliance. That is what voluntary compliance means. But here's the kicker. When it comes to the government's internal operations, there is no such thing as voluntary compliance. If Congress expects government agencies and instrumentalities under its authority to do a thing, that thing must appear in statute. All of Subtitle C, including Chapter 24, contains the commands to various entities under Congress's control concerning how and when to withhold certain federal taxes. In short, Chapter 24 deals exclusively with income tax to be withheld from non-resident aliens working for agencies and instrumentalities under Congress's control. Since that may come as a shock to many of you, especially if you work for a private sector firm in a state of the union that withholds from its American workers, let's validate the facts for you. The best and quickest way to do that is to look at the definition of employee for the purpose of Chapter 24, payroll withholding. However, before we read it, we need to know the meaning of the word includes in the tax code. We need to know that because includes is used in the definition we're about to read. When includes is used in the tax code, the items enumerated after the word includes create a category. The purpose of creating a category is if something not enumerated in a definition fits within the category created by the listed items, the thing not mentioned is still part of the definition. Let me give you a quick illustrative example. Let's say Congress writes in a statute that food includes grapes, apples, pears, strawberries, and peaches. In that illustrative definition, what is the category created by the listed items? The category is obviously fruit. So then, even though kiwis, plums, and blueberries do not appear in the definition, under the rules of includes, they are still within the definition. Furthermore, although we typically think of something like steak as food, under Congress's definition of food in this example, steak could not be included because the category created is fruit. With that under our belts, let's read the definition of employee for payroll withholding in Chapter 24. Remember, this is the sole definition in law that authorizes payroll withholding. It is found at 3401C and reads as follows, quote, for the purpose of this chapter, the term employee includes An officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, a state, or any political subdivision thereof, or the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of any one or more of the foregoing. Close quote. Let me read the enumerated items again, and you tell me what category the listed items create. Here we go. Officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, a state, or any political subdivision thereof, or the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of any one or more of the foregoing. If you determine the category created is people who work for certain government entities, you are 100% correct. Let's take a moment to connect a couple of dots. Remember that the income tax is imposed on U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person. Now comes a question. If a non-resident alien is working for an entity under Congress's jurisdiction, does that not provide the entity issuing the paycheck with 100% certainty the non-resident alien's income is from a U.S. source? Of course it does. That's why Chapter 24, Section 3402 makes it mandatory for all entities within Congress's jurisdiction to conduct payroll withholding. Phrased another way, Congress has made it mandatory for all entities under its jurisdiction to withhold the Subtitle A tax, known commonly as income tax, from the government paychecks of non-resident aliens. So where is the legislative authority for a private sector company in a state of the union to withhold Subtitle A tax, commonly referred to as income tax, from the pay of their workers who are U.S. citizens? You know, that's a good question. Researchers have been looking for that since 1942, when the current payroll withholding statutes were enacted. As I sit here speaking to you today, in the 32 years that have passed, no one has ever found a federal law authorizing income tax to be withheld from the pay of U.S. citizens working in a state of the union. If you're in the private sector, why is the company you work for withholding a tax from you that has been imposed only upon non-resident aliens with U.S. source income? That could likely be an entire presentation unto itself. So for today, I'll simply say that depending on the enterprise and the people within the enterprise making the decisions, the reasons can be ignorance, fear, cowardice, arrogance, a despicable and thoroughly un-American disregard for the property rights of the American people, or some combination thereof. On that note, I'd like to share a couple of notable quotes with you that likely explain the disgusting and pathetic behavior of the decision makers in those enterprises. From C.S. Lewis, quote, "One of the most cowardly things ordinary people do is to shut their eyes to facts." And this from German mathematician George Cantor, quote, "A false conclusion once arrived at and widely accepted is not easily dislodged, and the less it is understood, the more tenaciously it is held." As I close, I'd like to leave you with this. Form 1040 is entitled U.S. Individual Income Tax Return. I've mentioned in many other presentations that over the 111 years since the income tax was enacted, there are 10 Treasury decisions written by the Secretary of the Treasury instructing the 1040 to be used by a non-resident alien with a U.S. source income or his U.S. agent. In that 111-year period, there is not a single Treasury decision instructing anyone else to file a Form 1040. You'll note that the 1040 uses the word individual in its title, which is U.S. Individual Income Tax Return. Most people probably believe that's to distinguish it from a business return. It isn't. The name of the return is specific in communicating who is to use it. You will recall that Subtitle A, commonly referred to as income tax, is a tax on U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person. Then we have the Secretary of the Treasury repeatedly saying the 1040 is to be used exclusively by non-resident aliens or their domestic agents. You'll also recall that the collection mechanism for Subtitle A tax is found in Chapter 3, entitled Withholding of Tax on Non-Resident Aliens and Foreign Corporations. So, what is the definition of individual in Chapter 3? The definition is found in the regulations for Chapter 3 at 1.1441-0C3 and defines the word individual as an alien and a non-resident alien. I share that because I want you to realize that whether it's Subtitle A, Subtitle C, Subtitle F, the definition of individual in the chapter that lays out the collection mechanism for the tax, or the title of the form that is to be used to report Subtitle A liability, the facts are 100% consistent that Congress imposed the tax on non-resident aliens with U.S. source income, and that is from whom it is to be collected, not you. How do we change this? That could be a whole other presentation, but step one is for you to share this everywhere on every social media platform you're on. The truth isn't going to share itself. Earlier, I told you income tax shattering the myth provides mountains of incontrovertible evidence that Congress has never imposed the income tax on ordinary hardworking Americans like you. If it is as simple as I've shown you today, why does income tax shattering the myth provide mountains of evidence? The reason is twofold. First, Americans have been brainwashed by decades of government disinformation about the income tax. The way brainwashing works, a person hearing the truth for the first time automatically rejects it. The mind of a person who has been brainwashed automatically gives what they've been brainwashed to believe a strong presumption of correctness. Overcoming that requires a far greater volume of facts and evidence than it took for the brainwashing to take hold in the first place. Second, Americans deserve to see the mountains of evidence, which will then cause them to realize how weak the government's propaganda game really is. I say that because people who believe the government's income tax propaganda think the government's game is strong, and any statement opposing the government's narrative aren't backed by evidence. By providing the mountains of evidence, income tax shattering the myth flips that paradigm on its head. When readers finish Income Tax Shattering the Myth, they are crystal clear that those who understand Congress has never imposed the income tax on ordinary Americans have all the facts, and the government's propaganda is, in reality, fact-free disinformation. No matter how much you take away from today's presentation, there is no substitute for reading Income Tax Shattering the Myth. Many people have referred to Income Tax Shattering the Myth as the Bible concerning the truth of the income tax. A moment ago, we questioned how to change the un-American conduct we've discussed. The first step is for you to get fully informed. The second step is to do everything in your power to encourage others to get fully informed. Income Tax Shattering the Myth is the only comprehensive compendium on the subject in existence. Once you read it, there is no going back. You can never unknow what you find there. You can get Income Tax Shattering the Myth by going to drreality.news, drreality.news. I'll put the link in the notes. While you're there, take a look at body science. If you want the same kind of evidence-based breakdown as you've seen today, but focused on how your body's physiology actually works, rather than the false establishment narrative Americans have been fed for 60 years, pick up a copy of Body Science. You may have noticed that the health of the American people is sinking like the Titanic. 70% of our population is overweight or obese. Diseases like diabetes and Alzheimer's are exploding. Obesity in children, which was almost unknown just a few decades ago, is now commonplace. Due to trillion-dollar industries pouring money into bogus research, fake science is everywhere these days. Corrupt studies are making absurd claims, such as things like salt or eating red meat cause type 2 diabetes. In short, America's health is in the shitter and getting worse every day because certain industries and the U.S. government have engaged in massive disinformation. Body science shows you that process, shows you their disinformation. What will likely shock you is that much of what you now believe about health and physiology is inaccurate, but it's not your fault. The disinformation started in the early 1960s, so it's likely you've been inundated with their disinformation your entire life. That disinformation has led the people of the wealthiest and most technologically advanced nation on Earth to be the sickest people in all of human history, and getting sicker every day. I know I'm being a bit cryptic, But this has been a long presentation. I'm trying to give you a sense of what body science is about without making this presentation a lot longer. Here's the bottom line. If you read body science and put into action what you find there, you will leave the ranks of the misled and the sick and become astoundingly healthy. As I mentioned at the outset of today's presentation, I practice what I preach. I adhere to everything you'll find in body science. At 64 years old, I'm as healthy as I was when I was a teenager. Body science has never gotten anything less than a 5-star rating, and readers rave about the fact that they look and feel decades younger after putting into action what they learn in body science. So go to drreality.news, drreality.news, and pick up a copy of Income Tax Shattering the Myth and Body Science. They'll be two of the most fascinating books you've ever read. You have my word on that. Also, by purchasing Income Tax Shattering the Myth and or Body Science, you help me to continue to be here for you with these revealing and thought-provoking presentations. Please share this presentation. Thank you for being here. Take care.